Awesome. He's awesome. Well, if you're a guest today, so good. I'm the pastor. My name's Brett. My lovely wife, Kim, is in the front row. And see, there's proof there's a God. There you go. So you need nothing else, and that's not a good place to say amen. So just, no, it is. So good to have you with us. It's going to be a great day. I've got a message for you today, and this is the one the Lord gave me, and it's basically called Save My Seat. And so let's pray real quick and just get started on this and have a good time. Learn something from the Word of God and walk away, get back home different than when we came in. Amen? Isn't that great? I want to do something on purpose. So when you leave here, at least you're going, you know what, that was, I get it. I kind of get it. And I want to do that. And so hopefully we'll be able to make that really good and plain for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just give you praise for this service. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And I thank you, God, use me today. And we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you got your Bible or your phone or iPad or whatever you're looking at there, Matthew 28, 1 through 6, it says, after the Sabbath at the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone of the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, the clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook with fear because became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So I want us to look at really that verse 2. There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone at the door, and he sat on it. Now, that just means something to me, because you got to understand, I'm going to explain something about sitting and who you are and how you are. Wherever you sit goes with you. Yes? I mean, you are who you are. And so it is important that you understand why you're made up the way you are, because you bring stuff to the table that other people may not have. Let's welcome our online crowd. I keep forgetting to do that. We got people watching from all across the United States. God bless you. So I want to look at three thoughts today. And so can you picture? I mean, what would it have been like to see that angel? I have seen angels before. It wasn't so bright I couldn't see or anything like that. But this, you know, there's talking. This guy's like, whoosh. You know, and the guards fell like dead men and all that kind of stuff. And you know, so he's talking to them. But, you know, what would it have been like? What would that look like? And I'm just a dude. So if you're here, I'm going to give it to you in the plain and simple. I'm going to put the cookies on the shelf that you can get them. I can get them. But, I mean, I could picture an angel. If it's an angel that, you know, had any business rolling the stone away, that maybe had a bandana on and looked like Rambo. Absolutely. You know, or maybe Arnold. I'll be back. You know, whatever. But, he, you know, just like this tough-looking angel that just, you know, sits up there. And you know, maybe he's, look at where he laid. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, it would be awesome. But he isn't posing. He's sitting. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. He's just at rest, and he's sharing what Jesus had already proclaimed. He's beginning just to share truth. Now, make no mistake, body language talks loud. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're not interested in anything you're saying? If you're talking to somebody, I've talked to people, and the whole time they're talking to you, they're going, looking past you, or just like, shaking their head. They don't know, you know, what you're saying, or they're not concerned, or they really don't care. And their posture, their body position. Sometimes Kim and I will be talking, and I'll be doing this. And she would say, are you upset? No. Well, you're doing this. Okay. But I get it, because if my face is not looking like it's happier and I've got my arms crossed, she's going to take that as something's wrong, you're upset, you're not really hearing, like, you got something you want to say. And I have to go, no, I wasn't thinking that. So sometimes I have to put my arms down. I feel like Randy. Can't put my arms down. So, But body language speaks, and it's loud and clear. And so the angel is talking by his actions. So let's check it out. Let's just look at it and just see, like, what could you imagine him just sitting on top of the stone? Stone's rolled away, and he's just resting. He's just sitting there. So let me ask you a question this morning. How'd you pick out where you're sitting right now? So some of us are like, I didn't. She told me to sit here. You don't have to raise your hand, fellas. I'm just saying. Not here to create wars. But other kids, you know, my kids, you know, we took them to church. When I was little, I got taken to church. I didn't pick where we wanted to sit. My mom and dad picked that. Sometimes we just sit down. Some of us sit by habit, don't we? We sit in about the same spot. If you go to a conference or you go somewhere and you went in, it's first time in there and you sat like left side on this side, three quarters, you know, whatever. And then, you know, there's a break and you come back in, you're going to sit in the same spot. Chances are really good. 2 hours later, there's another session. You are almost drawn to that same spot. Some of us will even put stuff there to let people know, that's my spot. Don't sit in it. Some of us are strategic. I got to sit somewhere because if I don't like it, I can bail. I'm out. If you have little kids, you might sit towards the back because if they get fussy or whatever, you're able to get them out so it doesn't disturb everybody. Some just need space when you come into a room like this. Evidently, nobody liked this section. That's full of angels. You should have sat there. Just saying. But anyways, you know, we're strategic, like, okay, is this a good section? There may have been people sitting somewhere, and you don't mean anything bad, but you're making judgment calls on, do I want to sit there? Are they too close? Am I right? There's sometimes we don't like people. You ever have people that talk to you, but they want to talk in your bubble? I hate that. Especially, I'm a dude, and if it's another dude, please don't get in my bubble. Have you ever went to the altar and somebody prayed for you and their breath is so bad, if you did pass out, it's not from God? You don't want that. So we can be strategic. We look at stuff. I don't know. I don't like how these seats look. Have you ever went to a restaurant, been seated, and then didn't like where you were sat and asked to be moved? We've done that. Sometimes they will just seat you, don't even pay attention to you. How many? Two. Okay. Sit down. And you're sitting there and you just feel like, I don't like this place. I mean, the place where, hey, we're going to sit over here. And they'll let you because you're the one they're serving. But we can be strategic. I like movies. I don't know if you like movies. I have to be real selective about the movies I pick now. Because a lot of movies, even though I want to go see them, I don't feel I can. But if it's general mission, it's usually first come, first serve. Where you pick your seat and how you pick your seat, it can be a process. You go in the movie theater and you look at the theater, you look at the screen. Have you ever sat in the front row? Remember when The Passion came out? Kim and I went and saw The Passion like 3 or 4 times, and people were taking us, you need to go see The Passion. Okay, I know the story. I get it. And I mean, it's hard to watch The Passion. I don't know if it's hard for you. It's really hard for me. And we saw people come in with tubs of popcorn. I love popcorn at movies. Anybody? And whatever that stuff is that you put on it, it's not real butter, but boy, there's probably a dispenser in heaven. Yeah, thanks, Jesus. We'll get some more. PK loves buttered popcorn with M&Ms. Salty, sweet thing. But we watched them come into The Passion, and the popcorn was uneaten. They just sat it down because that's not a popcorn movie. It's just one of those like, oh my. But anyway, one of these times we went, the theater was packed. So we got to sit right up front. And I say got to, we had to. So the theater, the screen is like, and I'm in the front row. I can't even see the whole screen unless I'm doing this. I felt like it looked, I mean, in parts where they were whipping it and everything. I'm like, did I just get splattered? It was so close. By the end of the movie, my neck was cramped. And there's some people that will sit way in the back. Some will sit in the middle. But guys and girls look at seating differently. Girls will sit, they go to the bathroom together.
Hey, let's go to the bathroom. I gotta go too.
And so they'll go. We don't do that, do we, guys? You don't need to go with me to go to the bathroom. You can stay right here. I'm good. But when we go to a theater, if they're girls, they almost always, let's sit right here. Okay. I like that. Do you want popcorn? Okay. Whatever. Guys, we don't do that. We can sit next to each other if we have to. I even take my sons. We went to the movie theater. We will sit beside each other, but not always. Most of the time, there's a seat in between us. And we're good with that because that's our space. Unless we're sharing popcorn, then we'll sit together if that's what they want to do. If you go to a movie theater and somebody's got their feet on a chair, they're saying something without using words. Don't sit here. My feet are on the chair. If they have their coat laid across the seat, you don't go just pick up their coat and move it. They're saying something. That's my coat. Don't sit in that seat. There are people, there's brave people here in the front row. You know, this is the spit section. This is like splash at SeaWorld. So you could get spit on. I don't know. I'll try to be good. But we're strategic. Why? I'm here to tell you, sometimes we don't understand this, but where we sit matters. Now, I'm going to go someplace with this. Deeper than what you just think. Deeper than just your Rumpelstiltskin, your tushy, your derriere, your backside. Deeper than that, more than physical. So our first thought this morning is where your belief system sits. What you believe, where you sit. Because some of you are new today and you're like, I saw people raising their hands. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. You know what? There's a lot of things I'm not comfortable with. And there's times I guess I'd probably say I wasn't comfortable with that either. But to me, that's okay. If they want to raise their hands, I raise my hands. That's all good. If you don't want to raise your hands, it's still all good. You don't have to. Okay? Where does your belief system set? I think the angel's trying to tell us it matters what we believe in, where we sit. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you sit down, there's reasons. Some of us sit down because we're just tired. You ever been on your feet all day and you're just like, I just need to sit. Been in a car ride on vacation? My kids had it great on vacation. You know, we would stop every couple hours and they could get out and stretch their legs. We even had a video TV. They could watch movies while, and they had Game Boys. How many grew up like, I'm 63. I grew up, they shoved me in the back of a Ford Fairlane with my grandma in between me and my sister, and we drove like for 8 days and not got out of the car. Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. You can go when we get there. Can we stop and eat? Mom would throw back a bag of chips and it'd be like. Grandma would say, can I have a drink of your pop? You don't want Grandma to drink your pop. Unless you like floaters, you don't want Grandma to drink your pop. There's a lot of places in the Bible that talks about sitting. The Bible says he sits on the throne. Jesus sat down. Jonah sat under. And the list just goes on. Every place the Bible refers to someone sitting, it seems symbolic. There's a reason. It means something deeper than just they sat down. Now, let's talk about Elijah. He's a prophet. He had just executed a bunch of prophetic prophets or whatever for the enemy, so to speak. And he's running scared because Jezebel, this lady, is like, okay, same things. I'm coming after you, and this is going to happen to you. I'm going to do the same. 1 Kings 19, 3 and 4 says, when he saw that he arose, he ran for his life, went to Beersheba, belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. My point is this. It wasn't just his physical body that sat there. Emotionally, he sat there as well. His mind, his will, his emotions, he'd been running, he's afraid, he's depleted. Have you ever felt like that? Can I get a witness? So he was spent. He's at his rope's end. Now remember, wherever you sit, who you are, it sits with you. What you believe, that system sits with you. That is who you are right now. The Bible's deep, but the tree means something, so let's take a look at it. It's also known as a broom bush, but also a juniper tree, and it was common in that area, and if we peel this back just a little more, it brings us to our second thought. You do have a say in this life. Jesus has given you authority. So that being truth, if you believe the Bible is true, and he says, I have given you authority, here's our second thought this morning. You have a choice on where you sit. Sometimes you could stop the insanity if you just make the choice. Make up your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let's look at where he chose to sit. Three things that a broom bush or a juniper tree, you need to know. It grows in a dry place. Are you dry? Have you been just like, I just need a breakthrough, or I just need something good to finally happen? I'm just so tired. Watch where you sit. Check your mind, your will, your emotions. Check your soul. I mean, what are you feeding yourself? Are you lining up with the Word of God, or are you just going by willy-nilly, whatever the world says, whatever the world puts out there? You want to find answers? Facebook's probably not going to be the place. You need to go to Facebook, which is your Bible, and just find out, what does God say about that? Are you being forced to sit there? Is there something that needs to be broken? Do you have a choice? Everybody has a choice, my friend. Secondly, for the broom bush, it produces a bitter root. It was edible, but only if you were desperate. You needed to survive. And I can't tell you how many people we talked to over the years, and we, Kim and I, have been in that situation where you're just in survival mode. You're not in, you know, whoo, you're in just, you just want to eat for now. You can't even think about what happens when I get hungry again. Or I just need to get this bill paid, but you know the bill's coming again next month. A survival mentality. I've been there before and not had a flourishing one. When I was a kid, my mom and dad didn't really tell me this, but my mom and I, and you might like this dinner, so if you do, that's okay. My mom made liver and onions. Anybody like liver and onions? Well, bless your hearts. There's cookies out the front. Just eat those, okay? My mom, liver and onions, I think they serve that in hell somewhere. I'm not sure. But I did not like it. And I would tell my mom, I mean, you could smell it, look different, you know, and we'd sit down to eat. And my mom, if you're watching, and I know she's watching now, so, Mom, you can just repent of this later, okay? I'd ask her, I'd said, Mom, is this liver? And she would answer, it's beef. Which is true. But she could have just said, I used more ketchup than God has liver. You know what I'm saying? I had so much ketchup on there that you couldn't even see the meat. I couldn't. And she would not let me get off the table till I cleaned my plate. Any clean plate club here? Oh, help me, Jesus. When we had kids, we never, you know, I'm sorry, we didn't make them clean the plate. I just made them try something. They would say, I don't like that. Okay, just try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. But you don't know if you don't like it unless you try it. So just try it. And they actually adapted to that, and that's fine. But because of that, I mean, it was just like, oh, I was forced to sit there and eat liver and onions. It hasn't affected me at all. But Kim has never fixed liver. We've been married to be 39 years in June. She has never fixed me liver and onions. Thank you, Jesus. Because she knows I would not eat it. But she doesn't like it either, I don't think so. See, we're compatible. Job 33:4 says, they're gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late to the wilderness, desolate and waste, who pluck mallow from the bushes and broom tree roots for their food. So sometimes we are forced, or we allow ourselves to sit in places where we just survive. We just don't make our choice. We don't say anything. And we get bitter. And we eat bitterness and unforgiveness. And you need to understand, when you let strife in, the Bible says every other evil thing comes in. You got to watch where you sit. Be mindful of that. The third thing, a broom bush, they were used for binding. The branches were great for binding. Isn't it ironic? Elijah's on the run. They sat down under a kind of dry place, that food that you just have to eat if you only wanted to survive, but stuff that also can bind you. Can I ask you this morning, is there something binding you? What is holding you back? What is hindering you? What is stopping you from actually wanting to laugh and have fun? Some of us just feel like we just don't deserve it. You don't know the things I've done. You don't understand. Jesus died for all of those things. You can be free today. You don't have to be bound. Verse 4 says he prayed that he might die. Now remember, he sat under. Go back to the angel at the tomb. And here's the difference. He sat on. One sat under, one sat on. The Greek word for meaning for sit under is sit under. Greek word for on means above, beyond, and more than. Now, this angel could have did a lot of things. I mean, he's an angel. He's supernatural. He could have, you know, just, hi, girls, he's not here. He's risen. I mean, he could have fluttered around. He could have done all of that. No, that's not pretty. Oh, this is gone. Yeah, Local pastor loses it on platform. There you go. But he's supernatural. He could have hovered. He could have floated. It could have been like, oh. You go to Disney World, they got some girl on a wire, Tinkerbell, and she flies down before the fireworks, and kids go, oh, and I'm thinking, they don't see the wire. But he just sat on it. Think about what he sat on. This is my point. He sat on the very thing the devil tried to stop Jesus from getting out of. Sat on the very thing. Do you understand the enemy wants to just sit on whatever is binding and stopping you? Where you've lived now and just said, oh man, I just can't see myself debt free. I can't see myself free at all. I can't see myself laughing, having fun, or healthy, walking, doing whatever. Whatever is hurting, can you see yourself well? He's making a statement. His posture, maybe the way he sat. I mean, I didn't see him, neither did you. But have you seen people in cars? We sit different. Kim sits in her car. She's like usually steering wheel 10-2. Now, I've never seen Gibby in his car driving much. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if people, you don't want to see that. But, you know, there's some guys, have you ever pulled up to a light and they're going to... I pulled up to the light the other day and my car is shaking because the car beside us. And somebody's saying something, but I don't know what they're saying. And the guy's looking at me and he's like, yeah. And I'm thinking, okay. But we sit different. Some, if we're having trouble seeing, we sit like this. What was the angel? Was he just like being like, word? I mean, I don't know, but he's at rest because he is proclaiming truth that Jesus already proclaimed. That's saying something right there. What is the Father said in his word that you could proclaim, because his word never comes back void? What has the enemy, can I ask you, what has he rolled in front of you? What has he put there? Well, my father had this and his father had this, so I'm going to get this too. You need to break that. You need to stop that generational thing and start living for God. What circumstance are you facing? What issue? What financial struggle? What has blocked your freedom? What is the devil trying with everything that he has to stop you from seeing? He wants to slow you down if he can't stop you. We get to decide. Listen to me, whether we sit under our circumstances or on top of them. But you can't do both. You either can sit under them or on top of them. If you straddle them, you're indecisive, and you're not going to be too good about that because you'll get nothing. The Bible says that. So if you sit on top, what has become defeat can now become your seat. You can start sitting on, man, I'm telling you, is that not too good? That's better than you think. What is stopping you? Wouldn't you rather have it under your feet than in front of you? Wouldn't you rather see instead of looking at the mountain that's just like, I can't view that. Have you ever been to a concert or somewhere where somebody with a big melon head is sitting in front of you? And you just, if you're a kid, and you, I can't see around. My kids were little. Easter Sunday, we pastored a church in Pickerington. And a lady, she was the sweetest saint of a lady, but she always wore Easter. She wore this huge, big hat. I mean, it's like 6 miles wide, you know, around. And she'd sit down there. Sure enough, she sat right in front of Zach and Sam. Kids, when they're little, they don't know how noise travels. Why is she sitting in front of us? I can't see. Her hat's too big. Can we move? Can I take it off her head? You know, stuff like that. I mean, the service, they were going to eventually move because at that point, I don't think we had dismissed for kids' church and all that stuff. But it is just, it's okay. But I want to see what God wants me to see. I don't want to be blocked by the enemy. Here's a gold nugget. Where you choose to sit doesn't just impact you, but it impacts those around you. The people that follow you or the people that are with you are impacted by your choices. The angel's telling everything in listening distance, he's not here. See where they've laid him? He's risen, just like he said. Matthew 28, 8 and 10, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. If you would just understand that God is going to show you those dreams that he gave you. Those things that you're like, I'll never get there. Not if you keep saying that. But if you would line your life up with the Word of God, start where you are, use what you got, do what you can, and just do it today and say, just take some baby steps. Mountain starts moving. Viewpoint starts freeing up. Because you decided to sit on top of an addiction and not under it, your great-grandkids will be affected by that. Because you made the decision to give to the kingdom of God, your children and their children will be blessed and be affected by that. Because you made the decision to be debt-free, it's going to affect everybody in your family. Because you decided to sit on it and not under it, help me somebody, it's going to affect those in your life. Jesus shows it, and he leads by his example. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has, look, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You need to know Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He despised it. But he was able, he knew the mission, and he was able to do it, to endure it for the joy set before him, because he had you and me on his mind. There had to be the sacrifice, the path, the road, the journey. You're like, Brett, I don't know, I'm not even getting it. I'm telling you, it does matter where you sit. Jesus had the mission, and Peter tried to stop him. You know that. Peter's like, nothing. And Jesus had to say, Peter, back it up. I got to do this. And you're on your way home, and you've had one of those days. It's just like you wish you would have just maybe got out on the other side of the bed or whatever. But before you get to your house, before you get to you love the people that you love the most, that are closest to you, make the choice. I'm going to sit on it and not under it. That's what I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, but I tried to do that when our kids were little. I had days that were just like, whew. But I would come home and I would try to get all of that and shake it off me. Because when I hit the door, my kids, and to this day, they don't care who's watching. They'll come up and hug me. They're not shy about it. They would run, Daddy! And I would never stop them. Make the choice. Remember Fonzie on Happy Days? What was his biggest phrase? Sit on it. I'd rather sit on it than sit under it. If something the enemy's throwing at me, I'm gonna sit on it and put it under my feet. I'm not going to sit under condemnation. I'm not going to sit under bound by this or that the enemy wants to put. I'm going to sit on top of it. Why? Because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Let's talk about saving seats. I don't know if you enjoy saving seats for people. Most generally, I don't know. Some people it doesn't bother. It's awkward to me. Is it awkward to you? We're going to save your seat. And you'll do it, but isn't it awkward because if somebody comes up and starts it, I'm sorry, the seat's taken. Oh, okay. Or, you know, it just happens. And there's some people will save seats and people will take them and they won't stop them and they'll say, sorry, I tried. But it can get awkward. It means confronting somebody that wants your seat. Some people save seats for somebody and they're going to be late to a movie and they sit in the middle and then they got to walk through everybody. So everybody is like, usually they come in right at the part that you're like, oh, sit down. And then you have to pull or somebody tries to sit down. Sorry, the seat's taken. They call this the seat of emotions, you know, saving seats. You have three significant parts of your brain. One is the survival. There's not much required. You just, you know, if you're breathing, survival's working. Okay, secondly, logical. Okay, we rationalize this out. Okay, we get it. Figure things out. That's where your executive skills are. And then you're emotional. Do you want to sit here? I don't feel good. I don't like this. Too cramped, too whatever. But our brains are battling all the time where we sit, how we do it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know how you get peace? When you know it's already done. That's how we have peace. He's already done it. Jesus isn't going back to the cross again. It brings us to this. We decide where our emotions, our thoughts, our minds, and our bodies, where they sit. We have to believe what the Word says. When fear comes in, you can be a believer and the enemy's still going to attack you. Come on. He's still going to throw darts of fear. You have to say to yourself, I'm just using this as an idea. I'm sorry, fear, you can't sit here. This seat's taken. Worry comes in. People tell me, Brett, I don't know how to meditate. Yes, you do. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. I'm going to cast that to the Lord. This seat's taken. You decide what you want to think on, what you want to dwell on. I'm reserving seats like that close to me for joy, fulfillment, destiny. So save seats for the right things, folks. The last thought for this morning, your seat has been saved. All of that to build up to this. I love it when seats are saved for me if I'm running late, but I'm not real crazy about saving seats because I have to confront people and I love people and I don't want to hurt their feelings. And we all get that. But isn't it nice to have somebody that looked after you and saved you a seat? You're running behind, you're caught by a train. And Marion, can you imagine being caught by a train? Go figure. I had to go to a conference at Faith Life with Pastor Gary. And I came in and the usher came and I just, you know, okay. I didn't say anything to him and he sat me like way back in the back, which, okay. Another usher saw him seat me and came up and goes, no, Pastor Brett, you come here. and he sat me up towards the front. Pastor Gary came out, and he saw me and said, Drenda can't be with me today. I want you to sit up here with me. And I sat up there, and I'm like, I didn't ask to sit up there. I didn't come in with an assigned seat. I came in just, I was just glad to be at the conference. But because, now listen to what I'm saying, because I knew the guy holding the conference, God gave me favor. My friends, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have favor. And he is saving you a seat. He has made a way for you to not have to worry about, well, you don't know what happens. What if you don't get it all right? Okay, I get it. But what if you get this part right, get home base covered, and let's walk the rest out together? I can tell you right now, I've been saved since 1980, and I don't know. There's so much I need to learn about this book. I mean, I'm never going to arrive. So you start where you are. You use what you got. You do what you can. But Jesus has saved you a seat. Every lash he took, every blood drop that came off his body was for you and for me. So you don't have to be sick. You don't have to be destitute. You don't have to be poor. I'm not talking about, you know, so don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about just wealth and money. I'm talking about just loving your life, living it on purpose, having peace. Because I know, I may not know what holds the day, but I know who holds the day. A lot of us will just say, Brett, I don't deserve it, because we don't think of ourselves as worth anything. But yet, to Jesus, you are worth everything. Every one of you. A seat has been saved for you. You didn't pay for it. Jesus did. He saved it anyway. You didn't even have to do anything for it. It was already with your name on it. You didn't earn it. He went to the cross with you on his mind. He has already forgiven. Listen to this. He's already forgiven all your sins you did before, now, and the ones that you even do in the future. He's already paid for it. That's crazy cool. Every lash he did for you. Every pound of the nail, all for you and me. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. PB, where am I going to sit? Never thought you'd ask. Ephesians 2:6, raised up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We get to sit with Jesus. He seated us with him in heavenly places. That's in the New Living Translation. We got to sit with Jesus. 3:21 of Revelation, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. There's a seat saved for you, one saved for me. Got my name on it. Like right here. Of course, you just fill in the blank. It's not that difficult. See, we put all this church and religious garbage together and legalism. Well, I have to get right before I'm saved. I'm telling you, if you wait till everybody's right, you'll be left. It's not about getting right. He already died for you to be right. That's the process of walking it out. Salvation is free. He bought it. You just have to go, okay. And he said, no matter what you've done, he's like, I know. He even knows. And he's like, you're worth it. That's awesome. Have you ever had somebody, now you go to a theater, this is what happens. I'm just finishing this up now. You go to a theater now, and if it's a bigger theater, you get to pick your seats. That's kind of cool. So we'll go in, and Kim and I will go in, and they'll turn the screen around, where would you like to sit? And, of course, me being a smart man, honey, where would you like to sit? See, all the husbands, and so she picks out two seats where she wants, and she pushes it, and that seat goes, saved. It'll save those two seats, or however many we're, so we can decide where we sit, and we go ahead and we prepay for the seats. and have you? And we've walked. This happened a couple times, but it's been very rare. We walk in, and if we're, you know, in the movie, the maybe the previews are starting, and there's people sitting there. They have the letters and the numbers, and so I'm in G7 and 8, and there's somebody sitting in 7 and 8. What do you do? We have these seats. No, these are mine. Check your ticket. Oh, ours are 11 and 12. Thank you. Can I ask this? I'm going to have the praise team get ready, and they'll come up here. Brett, I don't have a ticket. I can get you one. It's already pre-printed. For real. But all you have to do is request it. And somewhere, it's going to record, saved, saved. And your name will be there. That's it. The enemy can't take that away from you. You don't have to be, well, I got to wait till all my ducks are in a row. I got to tell you, I'm still looking for ducks. I mean, for real. Jesus helps me walk that out. I'm a work in progress, just like you. And the more we yield to God, the more we realize his love and the gift of the saved seat. And I'm going to ask you if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes.